Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello there, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to, boy, this is hard to believe right now, the 36th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each week. Today we'll be talking about what's keeping you from wellness, number 36. And for those of you who tuned in last show, thank you very much. I appreciate your continued listening in. The guest that we had scheduled did have a technology problem and was not able to join us. So it was a little bit haphazard, but I appreciate you staying with me and tuning in for this week's show. That guest will be joining us as soon as we can get rescheduled, and I was also knocked off the phone several times, so I am changing and using a different internet. I'm using Chrome instead of Firefox, hoping that this will help ease those issues. I really don't like it when technology steps in and makes an issue with my show, and I'm hoping that you all will bear with me. Today's episode, What's Keeping You From Wellness? This was engendered by a situation that happened with me during some other events this week, and I got some really deep insight into people's state of the idea of wellness. Excuse me. Understanding of how things happen and how things work. Sorry, had to take a drink. I found this very interesting in terms of what we secretly do to keep ourselves stressed and what we don't know about creating wellness. And people may not be willing to learn. And certain beliefs are keeping them stuck, and other information out there is keeping them from truly having the type of well-being that they would like to have, keeping you from wellness. I have a quote today. Good health is not something we can buy. However, it can be an extremely valuable savings account. And this comes to us from Ann Wilson Schaaf. So what's keeping us from wellness? In this event that I was in, it was team building exercises and things like that. And it was fascinating because there were 65 people or so here doing these team building exercises. And we had one exercise where you were asked to go to a circle with a group of people. There were paper numbers in the circle. You were supposed to put your hand on your number and call it out, and the numbers went from 1 to 20. As soon as you were done, you were supposed to race back to the big circle, and it was turning. Well, we could look at our time and then see and talk about what we'd like to do to improve our time. And I found this absolutely fascinating. We got back, and we just kind of milled around because most of us had missed the information about If you don't like your time, you can redo it. So the person who was timing us said, did you hear this? Well, no, we had each focused on some bit of information that we stopped learning at that moment. And we stopped listening to the instructions, and they were verbal instructions. So we formulated another plan and then went back and did the exercise again and came back. And there were other teams doing the exercise. And after 15 minutes of doing this, they said, okay, now talk about what worked for you and share with the whole group. So then a couple of people out of 65 raised their hands, and then they said, look at the numbers and see if you would like to improve your number. And the best time was 14 seconds or so. And they said, you can strategize before we start the timers again. What would you like to do? So a person in our group came up with an idea that was totally outside the box. He said, why don't we just pick up all the paper numbers, put them underneath the hand, everybody touch the hand with holding the numbers, everybody call out a number, and let's come back. Well, our time was better than 14 seconds. We were one of the first groups back, and they said, do you want to improve your time? And we said, no, that's good enough for us. We're happy with that. So at the end of the exercise, they talked about, did you share some of the did you learn from some of the strategies that other people shared and those types of things? And no one raised their hand. So this is a team-building exercise. We were one big team that was split off into little teams. And we all got very proprietary about our team. And then they said, okay, the exercise is over. And one person raised their hand and said, well, who won? And they said, this wasn't a competition. Well, then what were we doing? And okay, so we have an understanding that me being cut out of my show is not the search engine. It's something going on with Blog Talk Radio, so I will call in and put in a trouble ticket. At any rate, they said, well, then why were we doing this exercise? And this is where my ears picked up. And they said, you were doing the exercise as team building. Well, who won? Who had the best time? Well, here are the times listed on the board. What team are you? Well, we want to know who we beat or who beat us. And there was such a competitive edge, and I looked around and I thought, in team building, we can even be highly sympathetic. We don't listen to instructions. We start figuring out very quickly how we can win. We get out of the present moment. And this was an exercise designed to move us out of survival, competition, and into thriving. And I said finally to my team, we were talking about it, and I said, you know, we were just supposed to beat our previous time. We were supposed to brainstorm. We were supposed to talk about it. We were supposed to build a plan and execute the plan. We did all of that. We were successful. And they said, no, we had to beat the other team's time. They had 14 seconds. And I said, we had 14 seconds. Yeah, but we had to beat them. I said, no, we didn't. The exercise was exactly what we did. We followed the instructions. We came back. We discussed it. We figured out more effective ways of doing it. We thought outside of the box for the final one, and we improved our time. That was the exercise. So it was really fascinating to see that we get very competitive, and then we don't hear everything that's going on. Now, then we went and had lunch a little bit later on. And in a group of six people, two people had celiac disease. And celiac disease, for those of you who don't know it, it's an autoimmune disorder where the small intestine gets extremely inflamed and irritated by foods containing gluten. So I thought, okay, I haven't really looked at this recently. The information that I have is several years old. So I went on a couple of sites because I wanted to see what this was. So when you go on the sites, there are several experts that are listed there. And I think people are made to feel that someone else knows more about you and what's going on inside your body than you do. And even though we had just come from this team building exercise and we were looking for various ways of sharing and supporting each other through different things, there was no thinking outside of the box when these two people talked about their celiac disease. They said it's lifelong, it's an autoimmune disorder. The only thing that can keep you from having a celiac disease attack is to keep from eating gluten. That's it. That's all you can do. And I went, oh my gosh. And that's what was on these two sites. They didn't open up for any discussion upon options and what else is possible and other alternative or complementary things you could do. They kept saying, you will get an attack with your small intestine if you eat anything containing even the most minute traces of gluten. So these people are living in constant fear of gluten. It's like there's this gluten monster outside of them waiting to attack and pull them into an extremely horrific episode of intestinal flare-up. That's like living with a monster on your shoulder 24/7, and the websites do nothing to take away the fear. They keep promoting the fear. They keep saying, this is the only thing you can do. Well, that's high stress, because when you limit your options to only one small thing, you're not in parasympathetic activity, you're only in sympathetic activity. Let me get my world and my things as small as they can possibly be so that I can control it. And if I eat outside of my own kitchen where I know I've got a separate set of pans and things like that, I will spend the rest of the afternoon in fear in case there was some gluten on the pans and the food, or that the food was cross-contaminated or whatever. So now one of these people is living in fear of an intestinal attack. What do you suppose that's going to do to her intestines? It might even facilitate the attack through placebo, you know, the belief that something was there that wasn't there. And it might depend on her state of well-being when she ate as to whether or not she would have an attack. So I found this absolutely fascinating because I asked a couple of questions. And we've got a break coming up right now. I'll talk to you a little bit about the questions I asked after the break, because this, for me, was what was one of the more enlightening parts of the experience. I found out that there are things that keep us from doing things that will promote behaviors, activities, learnings, whatever, that keep us from being the best that we can be. And they're usually not true. So we're going to have a break, and remember they talk about the Calm Mom, and I would urge you to sign up for the Calm Moms webinar. Remember, the audio for the Calm Moms is no longer available, so I apologize for that. I will make it available in the future. Let's take a short break, and after we get back, I'll tell you some of the questions I asked and some of the responses I got.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm stress-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Mom's free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening in and staying tuned with us as we talk a little bit more about what is keeping you from wellness. Stress Buster Secret number 36. So what was the questions that I asked of these two people? And it's interesting because their responses were more similar than you would think. I said, well, besides staying completely gluten-free, what else can you do? And both of them looked at me and said, nothing. Takes me back again to when I looked at the website, that there's only one thing you can do, which is a strict, lifelong gluten-free diet. How stressed do you think those people are staying? Now, let's kind of track this just a little bit. Stress is the cause, chronic stress, unrelenting chronic stress, is the cause of most diseases. And because your immune system is one of the more expensive systems to run, autoimmune diseases are definitely linked, no doubt about it, to stress. Now, the response that I have from these two people is, there's nothing I can do. That leads us into the emotional dynamics of hopelessness and helplessness. There's nothing I can do. And further exploration of some of the websites says it's genetic in nature and some of those types of things. So I can really understand the limited thinking. However, they are creating a lot of the stress that is keeping their autoimmune disorder engaged, because they're frantically trying to make sure that they don't have any gluten in their diet, that they stick strictly to a gluten-free diet. They can't even enjoy eating out. Where's the joy in their life if they're constantly on red alert for gluten in their world? So I found that interesting. You know, there's really nothing else you can do. You just have to stay gluten-free. And, you know, it's genetics. Well, you and I have heard enough about genetics through my radio shows and studies that I've been doing with Bruce Lipton and other people that are more knowledgeable in that area than I am, that it isn't necessarily genetics. It puts you at higher risk. But remember what Bruce Lipton says. It's the environment. It's the environment that turns on the genes and off the genes. So what environment has been created that turns on the genes that put you at higher risk for celiac disease? Well, I would strongly suspect it's stress hormones and the unrelenting release of those stress hormones. So the genetic disposition of celiac disease, is this true? Well, maybe not. And when they say it's something that's lifelong, once again, that's a secret belief that if you have something, you will have it forever. That's not necessarily true. So let's sit with some of the things to unpack from wellness. Another question I asked was, what else could you do to be healthier? Well, I don't know. I heard maybe meditation might be helpful. Okay, what did you hear in terms of meditation being helpful? Well, it might help, but I don't know, and I don't know enough to try it, and what if I try it and it doesn't work? And all of this was preventing this person from taking a step towards positively influencing their health. They said, well, you know, the doctors just say this, and it was a good discussion. However, it let me know that there's a lot of rigid thinking and a certain level of unwillingness to explore alternatives. They might be too woo-woo-y, or they probably won't work, and this is a decision someone's made without even trying them. And they'll stick with their only option of keeping their world gluten-free, even though that's not really possible in today's society. It's a lot of hard work. So, when I talk to somebody about getting an education, maybe taking a Calm Moms course, or doing the Comey level, the Creating Optimal Health through Mind-Body-Spirit Integration course, they said, well, you know, that sounds nice, but I really don't think it'll help me. I really don't think it'll help me. What kind of thinking do you suppose fits under that? That there's an expert that's in charge of my health and in charge of me, and they know me and my disease better than I know me and my disease. That's one possible belief. The other possible belief is it's a lot of hard work. Well, they're already doing a lot of hard work to keep their world gluten-free. They're already doing a ton of hard work. What if they balanced that and did less work in keeping their world gluten-free and more work in balancing sympathetic and parasympathetic so that the work associated with keeping their world gluten-free wasn't made harder by the fear that is engendered that you might get some gluten in your diet. Again, that fear is exhausting. It makes every effort you take more challenging and more difficult because you're defeated before you start. When you're in the fear, there's no way of winning. There's no way of following the formula and knowing success because you either win or lose. And in that situation, people who have celiac disease that firmly believe there's only one solution, they've lost before they've even started. They can't get out of that boxed-in thinking. And even if they're presented with evidence that says there might be other things available to them, that yes, they stay gluten-free, but the process of staying gluten-free is easier, they don't understand how that can happen or how that what it would take for that to happen. And then they're not willing to try because it probably won't work anyway. Another thing that I really look at is this lifelong gluten-free diet. I think that as we heal, as we come more and more into wholeness, your immune system becomes more tolerant, and it gives you a little bit more leeway. It gives you a little bit more freedom. It gives you a little bit more wholeness and wellness than when you're working with a high, high, high sympathetic nervous system and body and immune system. If you can come back into balance, if you can create periods of wellness in which cells are regenerated and new cellular memories are created, and a restoration of certain cellular activities begins to happen, that you might be able to look at your diet a little bit more differently and not be in fear of putting food in your mouth with every single bite. Is this going to kill me? Is this going to hurt me? Is this going to kill me? Is this going to hurt me? You can actually change your thinking as to how you eat. So, we'll finish with a quote today by Joyce Meyer. I believe that the greatest gift you can give your family in the world, so when I talk to these people about what they can do to improve their health, and I get the blank stare or a brick wall, I don't push against it, I don't argue with them, I accept that that's where they are. But that's one of the reasons that I do a radio show like this. I am hoping to reach people that feel they've reached the end of their rope, and may not have anything else available to them. And I'd like to let them know that there are always possibilities that are open, that are available, and I'm available to you if you'd like to pursue more options. You can listen to the previous 35 Stress Buster Secrets and get an idea of some other possibilities. The science is behind it. The research is behind it. And I know that there are so many more possibilities than what one website said. The quote only, end quote, treatment is a strict, lifelong, gluten-free diet. What else is possible? How does it get any better than this? I believe that the greatest gift you can give your family in the world is a healthy you. So thank you, Joyce Meyer, for that. Okay, that's all for today's show. I encourage you to email in at info@makingshiftshappen with questions you might have or to add to the speed round. You listen to my favorite success quote. What tool do I use every day, one that I would hate to live without? Well, this week I had some really wonderful time with very dear friends. I'm going to go to lunch with another very dear friend tomorrow. I got some actual things accomplished on my website, makingshiftshappen.com. You can find all the Blog Talk Radios there as a blog, and you can look those up. I'm putting the finishing touches on that today. So what do I do for fun? I'm calling up my grandchild, and we're going to go play this weekend as well. And I get daily updates on my newest grandchild through pictures and telephone calls, and hopefully today we're going to Skype. If you haven't done so already, please consider leaving us a review. It helps other people discover us, and it helps us get better seen in iTunes and on Stitcher. When you go to the blog page on the website, you can leave a comment, you can leave a question, and please rest assured that I will be getting back to those comments and questions on a pretty regular basis. Thank you so much for listening in. I appreciate all that you do to come in and listen every week, and I hope that this has been very helpful for you in getting an insight into some of the beliefs, some of the ideas that might be keeping you from wellness, and what will it take for you to step into ever-expanding wellness for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for your friends, because remember, that's the greatest gift you can give your family and the world, a healthy you. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.